During the week of August 20th, 2012, a handful of Democratic lawmakers sent a letter to the DNC requesting language pertaining to internet freedom be added as a plank of the Democratic Party platform. To discuss what this does or does not mean, I contacted my colleague, Cormac Flynn, a Democratic Party operative for more than 25 years. Cormac has served as campaign manager or finance director at the state, local, and national levels, and he is today vice president for state policy and program planning at the League of Conservation Voters. So Cormac, first of all, do you believe the DNC will make internet freedom a new plank in the party platform? And if so, does it matter?
Well, yes on the first point, and probably not on the second. The platform anymore of a political party ends up being in a laundry list of things meant to satisfy various constituencies and in a broad way represents the party philosophy, but it doesn't really constitute any sort of a program for office. And when you look at what is being sought in this plank, at least the language I've seen that's been in the press, this seems to fall into the category of resolve pieces good school of platform writing. It seems that it's so broadly written vacant of truly meaningful content that I don't see the objection, a fierce objection being made to its inclusion. But of course, the flip side of that is that it also doesn't necessarily mean anything because it doesn't commit the party to anything. In fact, if you look at the platform planks on the internet of 4 years ago, they're rather more detailed in specific commitments. I mean, this language here doesn't specifically mention things like net neutrality or anything like that. It appears to be something that everybody in the Democratic Party, and frankly, most of the Republican Party could get behind.
The representatives who have requested this this plank hail from Silicon Valley. But that's not news. I mean, representatives from every district will tend to represent the interests of their district, and there's nothing inherently wrong or unusual about that.
Well, certainly not. But what's really interesting to me is who is promoting this plank. A couple of people represent Silicon Valley, a former tech lobbyist, and an internet millionaire. And by the way, all fine people and fine Democrats. But and there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. But it suggests a certain level of two things, of base touching. But also, it makes you wonder, why are they promoting it? What are the people, the constituencies who are important to them, what are they saying to them that makes them feel like they have to do this for them?
And maybe I'm taking this a step too far, but we all know we just narrowly escaped the fallout of the mortgage-backed securities crisis. And one could argue that that disaster was the result of decades worth of financial institutions fighting against regulation. And when they fought against regulation, it was in the name of free enterprise. Now the new mantra is free speech or free internet. And the new corporate giants are in Silicon Valley. And it seems to me that their agenda, from everything that I encounter, is anti-regulation across the board, even to the point of anticipating regulation that nobody's proposed yet. Am I being paranoid, or is this a little bit of history repeating itself?
Well, maybe it's a little bit of both. I mean, to a certain extent, it's history repeating itself in the sense that this is how government works. The tech industry is not alone in their appeal to free speech, right? The appeal to free speech has been used by other industries for 3 years. I mean, it was the basis of the successful attempt by the oil and gas industries in Citizens United to overturn all kinds of campaign finance reform bans on corporate contributions.
Right.
So, so that's, in that sense, that's not new. I think it might be maybe disappointing to some folks. There was this belief at one point that the tech industry in Silicon Valley represented a decisive break with past practice of American capitalism, that these folks, they were a new generation, they had a new set of values, the information age would project a fundamentally different cultural milieu than the industrial age. But, you know, what I think people are finding out, not just here, but, you know, another thing, if you look at, you follow the sexual harassment and the issues about diversity within Silicon Valley and, you know, and some of the other things tech industry does, is that really what it should come down to is the big difference is that, you know, they don't like to wear ties and they prefer to play video games rather than watch football in their off time. But the corporate behavior is pretty much unchanged from that which, you know, we would have seen in the 1980s, Reagan years, from defense contractors and, you know, in the extractive industries, or what you would have seen, you know, in the Mad Men episode of folks doing in the 50s and 60s.
And I think that what the difference is, as you just pointed out, is that there it is business as usual. We're used to it. It's not always sinister when it's occurring. But for whatever reason, and I think it's largely among Democrats, is this tendency that I see to sort of give Silicon Valley, to give Google and whatnot a pass, and to assume that in fact they do stand for a new form of almost self-governance in a way. I mean, they definitely wield that kind of language, while at the same time they're absolutely you know, pursuing policy in the exact, as you just said, in the exact same way as really every other industry has.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that there are two elements to that. One's practical and one is cultural. You put your finger on a very interesting distinction earlier in this question when you said how the Wall Street had you know, promoted deregulation as a matter of free enterprise and global competitiveness and so forth, whereas now Silicon Valley is talking about free speech. And what's important from that is how it scrambles the partisan reactions. In the Democratic Party, you know, free speech is really the corollary to free enterprise in the Republican Party. Just as the you know, the worst thing you could say to many Republicans is that this represents some sort of socialism or government takeover, government program or big government. The worst thing you could say to many Democrats is that this is a restriction on free speech or free expression. It is a deeply ingrained value in the party that leads to the kind of thing where you know, it almost becomes a signal to turn off your brain now. If somebody says that this is restricting my free speech, then you better just run and stay away because you want no part of that. It's almost like a Red Scare tactic. You know, and so by latching on to free speech, that has probably resonated in the Democratic Party the way that the appeals to free enterprise from some other industries have not in the past.
Exactly.
However, I would also say this: when you're looking at people like the representatives who have brought this suggestion forward, or the folks on the platform committee, or the president, who you know, is tightly tied to the tech industry, is that the other side of this is a pure practical politics, which is that, you know, for the last 30 years or so, so much of corporate America, of the private sector in America since the time of Reagan, have been so heavily distributed on the Republican side that it has really put the Democratic Party at a tactical disadvantage when it came to money and muscle. To a certain extent, the relationship that they are building with the tech industry is for them a way to even some of the scales financially in come elections, particularly in this new reality of Post-Citizens United, where, you know, there's no such thing as a cap on what you can spend anymore. So, you know, so to a certain extent, there might be a practical aspect here to the Democratic Party's reaction, a desire to have a powerful pillar of the American economy that is squarely in their corner, as, for instance, the energy industry is squarely in the Republican corner.
You know, you make a really good point. Ever since the Citizens United decision, I guess we can assume that both parties are going to have their their corporate alliances, and that's just a reality. Cormac, thank you very much for taking the time.
It's always a pleasure to talk to people who take an interest in issues beyond where Hurricane Isaac will hit.
I will, of course, be watching that as well. Thanks, Cormac. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for joining the discussion at illusionofmore.com.